Let's do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
You know it's all about the phone! And a phone, baby! You know it's all about the phone!
Baby, my name's like a torch in a tank full of propane. Bring heat, build steam, I got the whole place in gasoline. Sky high, on track, a family eruption, a jetpack. Everyone breaks in their impact.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is the FTW Future Focus. I'm your host, the Mastermind, Bob Rogers. With me, we have the one, the only, the man with the golden voice, the man that's on Fight TV, IWTV, and all other type of TVs that I can't afford or explain. It is Robert Black. What's up, Robert Black?
Doing all right, ready to correspond.
Yes, sir. Next on the list, he is the founder, the administrator, and the defender of the... oh, my God. of the Facebook group, the MSW Motown Wrestling Group. He is Tony Motown Allen. Tony, what's up, man?
Not too much. How you guys feeling today?
Beautiful.
Oh God, I'm not happy. I'm not happy, but I'm about to. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. And we got a new addition to the team, guys. He is from Chicago, Illinois. He weighed in at. Oh, wait a minute. It says it doesn't matter what I think. Okay, but He's also a member of the Motown Wrestling Group. He is the one, the only, he is the marvelous Marcus Bagley. What's up, brother?
What's up? Good to be back.
Yes, sir. He was a member of our team last year, and then now he's a part of our team this year. I think he has a death wish. I don't know why he came back, but it's just that bad.
We're a fun group.
Hey.
Come on.
Hey, like to live dangerously.
Yeah. Until I'm in the mood I'm in today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're a fun group until the mood I'm in today. I ain't in a good mood today. Somebody that ticked me off, man, and somebody that ticked a lot of people off out there. Let's get this over with. Let's just go and get this over with. We're going to go into real talk right now with the Mastermind, Bob Rogers. How can I start this off? Because first off, today is my daughter's birthday. Happy birthday,
Kiara. Happy birthday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, my oldest daughter has her birthday today. I'm not going to say how old she is because you can never tell a lady's age. She's old enough to where she can kick my butt on it. So.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can't say how old she is, but she's
you
got my grandkids.
You just
don't
want to say how old you are. That's
birthday, too. It is going to date him.
I was trying to keep that under wraps, man. You have to let everybody know that.
Well,
but,
I gotta give you a little business before we get started here. You know,
yeah,
just to keep it light because you're about to tear into somebody.
Yeah, but I love you, baby. Happy birthday! Kiss the grandkids from me. Yeah, she's having a good time today. My oldest baby. But all right. Rob knows a little bit about this. This will be the first time you two kind of hear about this. Well, you know a little bit about it, Tony. but not the whole thing, because I kind of kept quiet on this because it kind of bothered me a lot. Right now in the Indiana Independence, there's a lot of words and a lot of things that's going on and a lot of talk going on about a independent federation called MPG. It stands for Money, Power, and Gold. It is ran by and I'm only going to say his name once because I might barf every time I hear it, Tyler Kent. Tyler, everybody's been sending me messages on Facebook. What happened between you and Tyler, blah, blah, blah. We can't stand because about a week ago he had a show and he just went in the locker room and told the boys he's not paying him. Took all the money or the little money that he had and ran. Yeah. And I get livid when that happens. One of the reasons is a lot of the independent guys, when we do these shows, we know we're not going to get rich, okay? Most of us are there because we enjoy what we do. We do like to get compensated, though. We spend our gas, we spend everything to get out to these places. So, you know, we like to be compensated for something that we do. And to sit up there and to go ahead and tell these guys, no, I am not giving you any money for some one reason or another, ticks me off.
I mean, this kind of puts this in perspective for the viewers to relate to. It's like, imagine, like, your boss telling you you're not going to get paid for your work.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how this all started was, I knew Tyler back in the days when I very first started FTW, when I was doing the planning and everything. Tyler was a kid, and he did something stupid then, and I blew him off. Dude, you want to act stupid? Go on about your business. He went about his business. Then I ran into him when I started working at a federation out here in Indianapolis. Again, he was trying to do certain things. He got his butt in trouble. He got kicked out of the Fed. He went on his own. He started trying to produce shows. I did my thing with Terre Haute, came back to Indianapolis, went all over Ohio, did my thing, worked with CCW. I mean, I'm not somebody that's here talking that is just angry or has it. I can't say I've done a lot, but I've done enough. I've worked every position there is in wrestling. We established that last week. I mean, I did everything from walking the clothing and attire to the back, all the way up to running shows. I've even reffed. I think I was the tallest ref ever in a wrestling match. So, yeah, I've done a lot in the independent scene in the wrestling business. I mean, I've done everything in the independent scene in the wrestling business. So I came up listening to the elders. Learning what I'm supposed to do, pay my dues, things of that nature. Him, I'm not sure what he did. All I know is he started running shows, and people were just saying this, this, and this. Now, I am a guy that believes in second chances. I'm a guy that believes, you know, you can't believe everything that you hear. And it's no offense to any of you guys that maybe listen to this. It's just something that I believe that somebody can be redeemed. I have that. As one guy says, I'm too nice. I'm way too nice. So when I wanted to go ahead, and after I went through the first debacle with doing a show and I had to embarrass one guy by running a show in the building that he was actually running in, I was thinking I wanted to do some shows. I've been wanting to do this show for my mom that died of cancer for the longest. And never could get it together because of one thing or another. So Tyler and I talked. He said, hey, why don't we team up? Because I need credibility. I want to clean my name up. I want to go ahead and make my show look like it means something, because, you know, everybody's on my behind right now, and I don't understand why. He gave me the sob story, and I sat there and I listened, and I was like, I know how it is to be accused of something you didn't do. And I'm like, okay, this is the deal. We made certain arrangements. He was supposed to supply a ring for my show. I was supposed to go observe his show, help him out with his show. And, you know, we work from there. There's also other things that were supposed to have been done. But I also had something in the back of my mind that said, slow down. See what this dude do. Now, anybody knows me last year, I went through a lot of stuff. I had to have surgery. I had internal bleeding, didn't know where that was coming from. I was knocking on death's door again. I never really explained how serious it was. I just let people know, certain people, what happened. But just to let everyone know, I was really on death's doorstep. I could have died at any day. Recovering from that, that made me think, you know what? I never got to do this show the way I wanted to for my mom. He wants somebody to ride with him to do credibility. I'm going to go ahead and give him a chance to see what he does, because maybe some people might be over-exaggerating, you know. So we sat here, and, of course, my show I planned off, like, 3-4 months away. And, of course, a couple of those months I was going through my surgery, getting my body right. So I'm healthy. Finally, I'm healthy. It's almost like a month or something to the show. And I'm like, hey, Tyler, you still haven't got to me about that ring. This is the date that I have. You know, I don't want to put my money down on anything until we got it together that I actually have the show. I mean, I have the ring. And he kept blowing me off, not answering him, I have this all on Facebook Messenger. So if anybody wants to try to discrepancy or lie about it, I took screenshots before he could delete any of his words or anything. I have everything right here. And then all of a sudden, he comes up and says, well, it's my mom's ring and my grandma's ring, so I can't tell you for sure if I'm going to have. And I'm like, you already had a show. During this time, we had one show. My name was on that show. My company's name was on that show. And you already used my name to get creative, gain credibility, things of that nature. You almost blew the deal with something that he did and blew something that I was trying to work on. And then you're going to tell me now you don't know.
That my mommy wanted to see you
in the hall. Yeah, he played games. He was playing games.
I mean, that's really so sad. His excuse is my mommy won't let me do it.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, his mom is very involved in what he does. His mom is like his protector. He can do no wrong. He can have fingerprints, DNA, all that stuff, and she would still say he didn't do it. And also, the funniest thing is she's allergic to chocolate. That's the running joke. She's allergic to chocolate, and I'll explain that another time. But
I think it's self-explanatory.
I think
we got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of funny. She had a pack of M&Ms on the side. But anyway, I'm sitting up here, and I'm just stunned. I'm doing all this. This is actually the show that I planned was on my mother's birthday. And I explained to him that he always going on Facebook talking about, oh, I want to honor my grandfather. And that's another thing that attracted me, because he had a family member that passed that he wanted to honor. So I'm thinking he would understand what I'm trying to do and respect what I'm trying to do And I screwed me over because we were doing the same thing, right? And I tell them, look, you know, it's going to be X amount of dollars for the show. Don't worry about the ring. I worked their way around the ring. Don't, you know, X amount of dollars for the show. You know, you want a couple of your matches on my show, this is how much it is to get it in. Now, Rob knows the quality of people that I deal with. Mm-hmm. I deal with people like the right hand of God, Sam Knight. Mm-hmm. I deal with, you know, I deal with people that are quality. They're not somebody that just came out the backyard doing flips, break dancing. You know, these are guys that are getting looked at by AEW, WWE, guys that are well known in the independent scene. Ari Alexander
veterans
is another
nine
one.
Times out of ten, yes.
Boy,
veterans,
you know,
are highly experienced people. Yeah.
There you go. I don't play. But I was going to let a couple of his guys be on my show because I seen they had potential. But he's going to have to pay for his guys. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I had my guys on his show, I'm going to pay for my guys. It's just right. You know what I'm saying? Well, he sends me a notation on there and says, well, I don't see how X amount of dollars is worth this money. I'm not going to pay that money for two matches when I can have a whole show for this amount of money. And I'm like, wait a minute, how do you have a whole show for that amount of money? Now I'm understanding why your shows go the way they do. And he tells me straight out, and I'm not just saying this, he says no wrestler is worth X amount of dollars. And the only reason I'm not saying the amount is because I'm trying to respect the wrestlers and their pay. So,
oh, yeah, exactly.
That's the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so you're trying to tell me my guys aren't worth X amount of dollars for you to invest in. And you're not even paying for the whole show. And it comes to a point where I looked at that and said, if you don't think my guys are worth paying for, you don't need to use my name.
Okay, so he ran a show on his own, and he refused to pay the workers that he brought in after he already booked them on the show.
Yeah, that's what happened last. That's what this latest thing he did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is
the most ridiculous, unprofessional, terrible,
right. Well, the
nearsighted,
the rule...
pig-headed.
Oh, yeah.
That's worse than shit stain.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous thing to do, especially when you're dealing with folks on the independent circuit who drive there themselves, they bust their ass, and it's basically like the territory days. They go from town to town, and nowadays they can't make a living as a full-time wrestler, and they have to have full-time jobs during the week. They do this on the weekends, sometimes for gas money, and they hurt themselves, and they freeze to death. They get on roads like we got out here now. The cardinal rule is that unless it's a tribute show in where someone has died, or unless a wrestler that has died, or a charity show that's already prearranged, the cardinal rule is no matter whether you take a loss or not, you pay the boys and you pay the technical crew.
Right.
And you always pay the boys no matter what. But if you got lights and sound and people to set up the ring for you, you got to pay them too. Even if you are at a loss of funds, even if you got to go like broke yourself, you always pay the boys, because if you don't, then you get a reputation in the industry for screwing people over, especially if you tell them that they're working for free after they showed up. That's just a cardinal rule.
this is the thing that bothers me. How dare he insult any of these guys that have put their blood, sweat, and tears into doing what they do, and to get them to come to the show, don't have the balls there and be honest with people. Don't have the balls to sit here and to tell people up front, hey, I don't have the money. If you still want to come through, come through. If not, I understand.
Right. And for the, and for the tournament that you've been talking about for this time, for your mom, we're trying to do it through charity organizations for breast cancer awareness, to try to get everybody paid. To have this
Tell it too much.
Oh, I'm sorry. But you know what I'm saying. Unless it is some kind of charity or tribute event, you do not stiff your talent. That's just a cardinal rule.
My thing is this: even though it is a charity show, okay, and this is the way I operate, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is a charity show, I'm still going to pay the guys. I'm going to give them the option if they want to, they could do it for nothing, or if they got to have some money, X amount of dollars. I give them that option. I'm honest. I'm 100%. That's how this business goes and how it survives, because we're being honest. There's no contracts being signed. There's nothing like that. So we got to, only thing we got is our word.
As Arn Anderson once said, reputation follows you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To do something like that puts a black eye on our business. It puts a black mark on what we need to do. No matter all the other stuff he was accused of, there's other stuff he's been accused of. I don't know that. I can't speak on that because I wasn't there. But there's a lot of people that are saying this stuff that they said about him was true. And again, I wasn't there, so I can't say, yeah, it's a fact, and no, it's not. But I know this for a fact. He's a piece of shit. I'm trying to do this tastefully. He's the most unprofessional person there is on this earth. Anybody that is an independent wrestler that hears my voice, that here's this podcast, if you're a fan and you know some of these guys, or if you're just on message boards or whatever, make sure you tell wrestlers do not work for his show. If you own an independent federation, I am asking you straight out, and I've not done this before, but in this case, I'm going to say it. Any wrestler that works for that organization should not work for you. We have to put a stop.
I mean, I'm not
to people like
that. I would imagine something like this. I mean, I'm not in the industry like you and Rob are, but I would imagine something like this make it harder for guys like you, because it's like, it kind of got screwed over by him. Now they kind of like got their guard up if they're going to work for you or work for some of these other indie promotions and everything, though, because, you know, they ain't trying to get screwed over again.
Yeah, that's true. And see, that's the thing. You know, you got guys that hear stuff from smaller level indie guys. The higher ones, it makes it harder to hire them, especially when you're just starting a federation. Because guess what? They're going to look, I dealt with this clown. He screwed me over. I'm going to charge you X amount of dollars more, and I want money in a certain way. Which makes it harder for us to get started because of some other goofs screw up.
And especially
let me just
like
say
in your situation, like if you like doing stuff with them and they're like, oh, you know him or you did, you know, yeah,
right.
That's gonna make it harder.
But let me also say this, and I'm gonna say this straight up, and I don't care how somebody takes it. You sat up there, you done ticked me off. You done ticked off a lot of people. And I know you're going to sneak and listen to it, because I know how you are. You're like a little rat when there's cheese around. You will find that hole to crawl through and get to that cheese. So you're going to come and you're going to listen to this, and you're going to hear my voice. Dude, you screwed with the wrong person. You screwed with the wrong one. Because not only do I know stuff in the wrestling industry, I know things politically. So my advice is you take your ring, you sell it, you don't go anywhere, you hold no more shows, you don't hide behind anybody, you don't try to work behind anybody. If it is, it better be across the country. It better be in Oregon somewhere. Because I guarantee you this, one of the missions of FTW that's going to happen pretty soon is it's going to be putting you out of business. And any of you guys that have worked with them that don't like them, whatever, feel free to get in touch with me. Because after what you did to me, when I'm trying to honor my mom, when I'm trying to honor somebody that I love, that raised me, the same way your grandpa did you, that raised me, and you wanted to take advantage and try to screw me out of stuff? Dude, you better be glad I don't show up at one of your shows, because you're in one of my hometowns right now. You're in Bloomington, Indiana. I have a lot of friends in Bloomington. I have a whole college that I know down there. So, dude, I advise you to cancel all your shows, because you never know when one of my friends might pop up there. And if you anywhere in that area, and if we pop up there, it ain't going to be nice. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be a discussion. Your mom can't save you now. Because if she's allergic to chocolate, she's going to swole up real quick. And that's a promise.
Well, on that note, it may be time for our next segment. And Bobby, I believe you have the intro to this, which is a segment for Marcus.
Yeah. After I had to get that out of my chest,
I just wanted to take a deep breath, decompress, and
we got through that PG, so that was good.
I know. I'm kind of proud of myself on that one.
I am too.
Oh yeah.
Well,
oh yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. All right, but now it's time for Marcus Action, dude. You were talking about the booking of, okay, all you independent guys, I know you got families and stuff to go to. If you want to listen, continue. If you don't, I understand. I'm just letting you know what the deal is. Screw this dude, all right? And, Tyler, I'll be seeing you. But on to the next one. Marcus, you were talking about the booking between the two major federations. We got AEW.
Yeah.
We got WWE. What's up with the booking? What you saying, man?
It's just, I mean, over the last 3 years since AEW started, and particularly in 2001, I mean, just the booking with both shows are just so bad. I posted a question in our group maybe 3 weeks ago, a month, something like that, and I asked, who's been the worst booker over the past year? Has it been Vince McMahon or Tony Khan? And most of the group thought it was Vince, but I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I think about Tony Khan. Well, I mean, when I think about Tony Khan over the past year in particular, I'm not going to say it's not Vince, but Tony Khan's right there with him. I mean, the booking – I mean, I'm going to give a few examples because I know I'm under time restraint. I can do a whole show on this. But
we did a whole on this, all.
Yeah. I mean, just I'm just going to throw out a few examples, then I'm sure you guys want to chime in on this and things like that. But, I mean, I'm just going to focus on AEW. Okay. What's up with all the factions, for one? The pointless factions. I don't understand, like, why the Inner Circle are still together. I'm not sure why they even got together in the first place, but why are they still together? You know, why, like, what was, why, like, you know, Death Triangle. What is Pac doing with the Lucha Brothers? Can somebody explain that to me? Like, what was the thought behind that one? And, like, why is the Dark Order still together? I mean, I think they're the worst faction of all time, personal opinion, worst faction of all time.
Me and Marcus had this debate probably a couple times.
Yeah.
I still say eight and eight.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, we can do a whole nother show on factions, period, but I think Dark Order is just horrible. I mean, and that's just one aspect. You look at what they're doing with their stars. Like, I'm going to start with Sting. Okay. Why isn't Sting being booked like Goldberg or Brock as an attraction? Why is he wrestling underneath guys and not putting them over? Or at least making them look good? You know, like, if I was booking right now, Sting would be a attraction. And I would bring him in to have a program either with MJF coming off his victory over Punk, or he would be in Lance Archer's spot, putting over Hangman Page and making him look good as a champion. That's why we have Sting right now. But instead, he's wrestling with Danny Garcia and his crew. He's a 62-year-old man.
I really don't like how they're booking Adam Page as a champion also. Go ahead, continue.
I was coming to that next. Okay, to me, I think Adam Page has everything to be a star, but I don't see him as a star right now. I mean, he was booked horribly. I mean, he went from being in the Elite to happy-go-lucky drunk to being with the Dark Order, but not in the Dark Order, a bunch of underneath guys, to disappearing, and now he comes back in the ladder match and gets the belt. Where's the build up? You know, where was the now they're building him up now against Lance Archer, who 1 minute he's a face, then he's a heel, then he's a face, then he's a heel, then he's a face, and then he's a heel. Explanations at all. He just goes back and forth. And why does he have Dennis Lambert and Jake? Why does he have two talkers? You know, it's like, what's the point? If they got Lambert, then why do they need Jake, who can do nothing but talk at this point? I mean, what's the booking behind that? I mean, and I can keep going on, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just let me know when you're done, because I can answer all those.
Okay, I'm going to stop right now because I can go on forever, so I'm going to stop right now.
Okay.
I want to hear your thing on the factions, because when AEW first started, I liked the fact that they had multiple factions. I thought it was great to have the factions because it's a great way to, like, use up TV time with multiple talents, but it's just like the factions are not developing anybody, though.
Exactly, right. And they're pointless. I mean, and can anybody visually see the point of Jericho and Swagger with Guevara and LAX? I mean, does anybody believe those guys would be hanging out of any other way in the world?
Yeah, I can see it.
I'd love to hear it. Okay.
Yeah. Rob, you seem like you had something to say, and then I'm going to come in after you. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. Let's address the factions first. They got that concept from New Japan. And a lot of the reason that AEW exists is because they're taking the Japanese strong style – lucha style and indie circuit style of pro wrestling and basically making a big bouillabaisse out of it and making a company out of it and trying to normalize that to the American public. And for the most part, I think it's working, but Marcus, you have hit the nail right on the head when it comes to the problems with AEW's booking. I disagree that it's the worst out of the two, because as many mistakes as AEW is making, WWE is making worse mistakes, and they should know better. That's the defining factor.
I can see that. And you know what?
Yeah,
I think my frustration with the AEW booking, to be honest with you, is the fact that they constantly get praised for it. Like, I think WWE is doing a worse job, but people are, like, calling them out on it. It's like, yeah, they're doing a horrible job. AEW is getting praised for their booking, and I don't think that they deserve the praise that they're getting.
You're right in the sense that the honeymoon is over. The company's 2 years old, and the excuses for the sporadic booking is starting to run out. I mean, I overall love the company, and I love the matches they put on, always exciting. But, Marcus, you are right in that everything they are doing is very sporadic, number one. Number two, it lacks consistency when it's not inside the ring and when it's not certain people like in the main event or close to it, like Punk, Danielson, MJF, and certain others. But think of AEW right now as the second or third season of Saturday Night Live back in 77, 78. When they were first starting out, not ready for primetime players, and not every joke lands, and sometimes a skit or two sucks. But there's something very special here, and there still is. And they're the most exciting thing going right now, and that's why we're being so forgiving of their mistakes. And
Let me get in here for a second. See, when we look at everything, and everybody says, WWE and AEW booking, it's one factor that everybody forgets. When Tony Khan started this company, he entrusted four people, with three divisions. Okay. Cody, the young Clucks,
and Kenny Omega
can't book a women's division if he was had hold and he was what was dude's name that went on the Chappelle show, if he was Wayne Brady, you know, he couldn't pimp holes if he was Wayne Brady. I'm sorry. Omega has no idea on the women's division. You got the young clucks that just book to make themselves look good, and that's what that was.
They bury FTR. They bury FTR completely.
Well, they buried more than FTR. They buried Santana and Ortiz. They buried a whole bunch. Also, the young team where it was the high flying dude and his brother. They buried them too.
Oh yeah, Dante Martin.
Martins. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
to be fair, one of them got hurt.
Even though one of them wasn't hurt, they still buried them before he got hurt, though.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when we look at everything and we look at who's doing it, Tony was looking and saying, "Hey, I'm trusting these guys to put out a product." Cody has done okay when it comes to singles. I'm not saying he's doing right. He's done wonderful. He's done okay. He's the better.
Cody's
trying to be his dad
too much.
Right. He's thinking too much into it. But when it comes to the women and it comes to the tag team division, they are terrible. And it's not Tony's fault. The only fault that I could say, Tony, was to trust them a little too much.
Yeah.
That's why I think the question is kind of unfair, because Tony's not the one. Now he is. He just stepped up, what was it, a few months ago and started taking over everything and pissed off everybody, and I'm glad he did.
I mean,
but that shows.
I mean, the question is not, the question is not all fair, because it's not Vince McMahon versus Tony Khan. I'm booking it's WWE versus AEW. If he trusts these guys,
No. Hold on. You didn't let me get to the second part. You didn't let me get to the second part. Hold on. It is McMahon, though. Because think about this. McMahon has his hand in everything that happens. Tony Khan just basically says, hey, I'm giving you the ingredients to make the cake. Make the cake. McMahon is the one literally trying to mix everything up.
That's why I think the same thing is a warp, because Vince McMahon has too much control over stuff.
Vince McMahon is trying to make make peanut butter pizza with anchovies is what he's trying to do.
Exactly.
Because that's good shit.
And my thing is, you can't blame and you can't put Tony Khan in there except for the fact that he trusted these guys. That's why it's forgiving, because we understand Tony's really, now he is, and it's gotten a lot better since he has. But at first, Tony wasn't booking all this. That was the other three sets. McMahon has had his nose, his arm, his leg, probably his hips, and probably half of his chest into everything that WWE was doing. Yeah, it's McMahon's fault. Yeah, it's McMahon's fault that all these people was released, because he has so much control. He could have said, no, we're not releasing him. He's staying, just like they did with Mustafa Ali. No, we're not going to stop Big E from getting his championship run and stop him being a tag team wrestler and make him a serious singles competitor. Because McMahon could do that if he wanted to. He doesn't want to. That's why WWE gets the flack that they do. That's why WWE is not just garbage. It's not recycled garbage. It's running into the toxic waste thing.
It is.
Okay, well,
it really
well,
is.
Two things. One, I'm not actually saying that AEW is worse than WWE. I just don't think that the disparity is because when I'm still seeing two grown men on national TV have a scooter race. Okay, that's just beyond me, for one. And Bob, go back to your point. Okay, it is Tony Khan when you got one of the best wrestlers in the world, Jay Lethal, not on TV as much as the Dark Order. Okay, that's Tony Khan. Okay, it's Tony Khan when we see Dante Martin go from Leo Rush to sign a contract with Taz Faction, and then without explanation, he dumps them the next week. Oh, that's Tony Khan. It's horrible. And oh, that's Tony Khan.
But you also got to look at the situations. Now, I personally, and I'm giving away a little stuff of what I was doing, it might make a certain young man happy out there, your champion there, Rob, over at NWP. I actually was in the discussions with talking to Leo Rush. Because the match that I wanted to see, and I know he wanted this match, was going to be Leo Rush versus, you know, Don't Die Miles. I wanted that years ago. I wanted that a year or two ago. That was before he changed his name to Don't Die Miles, and he was going by Miles Morales. I wanted that match because I knew he wanted it. I knew he wanted that match. And I thought it would be a good match.
That would have blown up every streaming service in the world. That would be a fantastic match if it ever happens.
Hold on. Let me say this. Mm-hmm. When you start talking to that man about doing business, it's a whole different story. Leo Rush, when he conducts business, ain't that cool. And one of the reasons why I never even went further with that.
Okay, so those numbers are true.
Dude, if he ever was in my face saying that stuff, we'd be going at it.
I mean, I've heard the rumors, though, but I didn't know, like, how true it was. I mean, you know, I mean, internet rumors are internet rumors. I mean, if I'm not there, I mean, I can't say for sure. You in the industry, though, so I trust your judgment on it. But I've heard that several times about the OS.
That's fact. And my thing is, there's a certain gauge that you go by. You know what I mean? This dude just thought I was some sucker and was going to try to charge me a whole bunch. And I'm like, dude, and at that time, of course, he wasn't on any national program. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, dude, are you sure about that?
Yeah, he won't be for long, from what I hear tell.
No, he's not.
Leo just quit.
Because of his attitude.
Yeah, Leo just quit.
Yeah, his attitude. His attitude sucks. Mm. You know, so I understand the Dante Martin thing. Now, the Hangman Page, I agree with you 100%. They screwed that up bad.
No, it's not his fault at all. But the thing that sucks about how bad they screwed it over is they worked that leading up to him winning the championship, they booked perfectly. They built it up. But even with him aligning himself with us, I mean, there was a great build up to that moment. Like, finally winning the title. Even with him with the Dark Order, the way they led up to it with him leading this, I get, like, okay, no, you're not part of the elite no more. Now you hang with the Dark Order. You're trying to get up to that. The build-up to him beating Kenny Omega was a long process.
Okay,
long
well,
process.
What I want to see out of AEW over the next 11 months is a booking reorganization. They need to whip everything up into shape. They need to tighten up every single storyline so that it runs like a well-oiled machine, because that's been the main problem for the last 2 years.
But before we move on to the next topic, I say that we should revisit this in a few months and see how it goes with the change of Tony Khan being more hands-on. I think this is a topic we could definitely revisit.
I agree with that.
Yeah, but to me, I heard you say, Bob, a few weeks ago that Tony Khan cares about his company, that he needs to hand over the book. He needs to hand it over completely hand over the book.
He never had.
I have always
how
said
can you
that
hand
it
over something that you never had?
Well,
yeah, but
he needs
to bring in somebody that is the booker, period.
Kevin,
I mean, get rid of all the EVPs, and there'd be one booker, period, whoever that is.
Or Jake Roberts. For God's sake, he's already got him under contract. He's not doing anything really important. Lambert's going to be with Archer, just let Jake the Snake Roberts book the company. I would love to see
Jake the Snake Roberts has a brilliant wrestling mind, and that would be a great option. Another option, you got two legs, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard.
Yeah.
Yes.
You got great wrestling minds.
I would love to see Jake.
Guys,
I just don't know if I could trust Drake.
Well, before we transition into the next session, I just want to say this. Tony Khan, if you're listening, my telephone number is 317.
Yeah.
I will be your cheapest and your best option yet. Oh, help me. I need to laugh.
Hey, there is nothing wrong with self-promotion. It's
absolutely
all good. Right?
I mean,
you never know. You never know.
Yeah,
Rob,
exactly.
Rob,
you never
let
know
me ask
who's
this question
listening.
Real quick. Hold on. Let me ask this question real quick. Rob, honestly, though, if I seriously think about this, think what I've done with less. If I had that budget, How do you think them shows would have went out with the connections I have with the independent?
I have no doubt they would be excellent shows. In fact, I would love to see what you do with this, what you would do with this Owen Hart tournament coming up. Both of them.
Oh God. Oh God.
The outside of booking, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but we're going to go on to our next segment. Tony, you loved this match.
Man, yes.
Maxwell,
I loved everything
Jacob
about
Friedman
it.
Taking on CM Punk. I believe if this was a girl, you probably have his phone number and banged it a couple of times already.
This match is a girl. Her name is AJ Lee.
Oh God.
Oh man.
Yeah, we going
that's,
back
that's
to that.
That's my boo.
Yeah.
That's still my boo. And she's not even my typical boo, but there's something about AJ. As my mom calls her, Skippy.
She won't be spreading.
My mom better than
she's
a Skippy
wrestler. Wow. So this match was actually, to me, honestly, was the match of the week. What do you have to say about it, Tony?
Oh,
I 1,000% agree with you. And for me, it's not even about the match. I absolutely love this feud. I love this feud with MJF and CM Punk. And the thing that made this match even better is the fact that, like, the one thing I love about AEW and the one thing that no matter how you – what you think about, like, WWE, both companies bring their A game in Chicago.
Yes.
When you look at shows across, when you look at different shows, they always bring their A game in Chicago, and AEW definitely did that. And this match, it's in CM Punk's hometown. It was an incredible wrestling match. Boss finishes. No, it was like, everything they had, like, oh, damn, he got screwed. The way they booked this match, the story they told was incredibly good. The factors they had in the feud with Warlord, like, people, like, I heard some people criticize the MJF Warlord beef. I think it adds to this feud because, like, when he walks out, you don't know what he's going to do because of how they beef it, you don't know how it's going to go. But no matter what you think, there is nobody, I guarantee you, there was not one person in that arena that night that thought that CM Punk would lose that match. Nobody. And I just didn't think that. And I know there's a lot of people who did not think that CM Punk would lose in Chicago.
Yeah, because I was about to say you should look at the message board. I told Ty MJF was going to win this one. And he was going to win dirty. I was right.
But that's exactly what needed to happen. MJF.
It needed to happen. Here's the reason why it needed to happen. And this is something I know that Marcus will have an opinion on. I love having Marcus on the show because we talk so much wrestling. We've known each other for so long. We talk so much wrestling. MJF is the gem that they have. Like, he is like the best heel that they have. But they book him too chicken. They book him too much like a – they don't book him right. He needs big wins. He needs that victory. Like, in all honesty, he should have retired Chris Jericho. That could have been his, like, beating The Rock and Stone Cold in the same night match.
Yep.
I think he needs those big, legit victories to show that, hey – He is big time. He's a legit star. He's a force to be reckoned with. That was MJF's night. And his night was in Chicago.
MJF is the model for exactly what a professional wrestling heel is supposed to be in this or any other.
Without
era.
A doubt.
Absolutely. Yes. He's miles above anybody else in the business as far as, like, being a magnet for heat. I mean, I don't even know if the guy is an asshole in real life, and every time I see him, he gives me hives. So, and
the way he is, I legit think he is, though. Like, he convinced me that he is.
Well, I mean, that you can't tell the difference, though. The line is blurred, and that's the whole point. That's the way
yeah.
it used to be back in the day. I loved this match. My only problem with it is that the thing with the chokeout with the cravat in the middle of the match didn't need to happen. They could have done a little bit more business before that happened and have that be the end of the match. The thing with Wardlow and the ring to try to add it into that feud, I could have done without, especially not with the false finish if MJF was going to go over anyway. But despite those issues, the match itself was just 40 minutes of raw goodness that you couldn't, and for all the crap that we were giving the booking of AEW just now, spots like this and matches like this is what puts that company a step above right now.
It does.
And,
it really does.
Yeah, and I agree that MJF should have retired Jericho. That was a faux pas, especially since they've only been using him in the commentary booth lately anyway. He could have gotten more heat off that too. But when it comes to MJF, eventually he's going to get that title. And when he does
mm-hmm.
get that title, it's going to be like one of those YouTube videos where somebody lances a boil on the cow's ass and all the pink pus spews out. We are almost at, like, maximum infection to where MJF winning the title will bust the boil. And I hate to be disgusting like that, but that's exactly how it feels. And eventually, the boil will burst this summer, I think. Eventually, the boil
All right.
on the cow's ass will be lanced, and the pus that is MJF will splash onto the AEW world title, and we will get the reign of terror that we've been waiting for. And I think Wardlow is going to stay with him until that happens.
I think so, too. Like, as much as they tease that split, I agree with you. I see them two staying together.
Hold on. Check this out. Let me say this. I hate to be Debbie Downer on this.
But don't.
I actually, screw that. but honestly, I did not like this match happening now.
Really?
I thought it was way too soon. They have Revolution coming up. They should have had it on that pay-per-view, the very first match.
Real quick, though.
That is a match.
And you can pick, real quick, though. I think it's more about location than, like, whether it's on free
TV
or on the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that it was in Chicago.
Yeah.
Him getting a win in Chicago is bigger than him getting a win over CM Punk on a pay per view. Like the way, especially the way they built up CM Punk in Chicago,
yes.
It's hard to beat CM Punk. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible to beat him in Chicago. John Cena couldn't do it.
No,
exactly.
Hold on. This is why I say the booking is screwed up, and this is why I agree with Marcus on some of it, because I would have planned for Revolution to be in Chicago.
Oh, well, yeah.
If that could have worked out, that would have been more impactful.
Oh, that was,
you know,
and that would have been more impactful. That would have been. Like, okay, if you book it where, like, the show was in Chicago instead of this one, you're absolutely right, because that would have been bigger.
I would
Unless
have booked
they
Revolution
do the rematch at Revolution.
Yeah. But the rematch still takes the glare off of it. It's the very first match. It's going to be in CM Punk's hometown. Everybody's geeked about it. Oh, man, it's a pay-per-view event. This is a huge match. It's going to be the sub-main event of the main event of the night. pay your money, pay pay-per-view to come see it. How many pay-per-view buys are you going to get off of that with them two? How many other rematch?
This ain't WWE pay-per-view. I mean, this is $60 pay-per-view. This ain't $10 subscription.
Right. How many people would have paid that money to see them touch for the first time? They would have paid that money. You would have made a killing. You know you got these two? Okay. Put that pay-per-view in Chicago. Put that there, CM Punk, and then screw it over so people are pissed off. So that next pay-per-view, when it comes around 4 months later, they're going to buy that to see CM Punk get his revenge. Now it's like, we just seen it for free.
I agree with you if that pay-per-view was booked in Chicago. But the way the way it's booked right now, I like how they did it.
No, but I would have made the book in Chicago.
Oh,
it wouldn't have been no if. It would have been done.
No, that's my thing. That's the only way I would have done it different than the way they did it is to have that pay-per-view in Chicago. Granted.
Yeah.
AEW, and here's the reason why AEW hit a home run as far as having it this Wednesday. You had a snowstorm in Chicago. The snowstorm that we got here was there a day earlier. Nobody missed that show because of CM Punk.
Well, and not only that, though, think about it. But hold on, wait. But think about it. Chicago takes care of their streets a lot better than here in Indiana. So
they do.
I really can't compare that because guess what? They take care of their streets. You go get around in Chicago. Here, everybody hibernates like they're bearing the winter, you know.
Chicago in the middle of the storm, their streets are better than our streets are at this very moment.
What you got to remember, too, now, this is not the 80s and 90s. Okay, viewership is more emphasized.
Now, you're calling me old. God. You call me old.
I'm thinking we're probably around the same age. I'm about to break out my walker right quick.
Let me get my walker.
I can't speak for Rob. I know for sure. Me, Marcus, and you, we all around the same age.
Yeah.
Rob might be the baby in this group.
I'll be 45 in July. I'm 44 and a half.
Okay, I got you beat. Yeah, I got you beat too.
July what?
But I was gonna say, pay per views aren't emphasized as much as viewership now. It's all about the numbers. So I see why that match is on TV for free compared to a pay-per-view.
But hold on. See, this is what I say, why I say all of us has been vinced, okay? The numbers don't count when it comes to a WWE.
Before you say one thing, we're not all vinced. Back in the day, back in the 90s, WCW, Eric Bischoff focused more on Monday Nitro than he did on pay-per-view.
Right, which was terrible. All he cared about was ratings.
That's why he got Hogan get his ass whooped by Goldberg on Nitro instead of a pay-per-view with no fucking build-up.
Exactly, right. So that's just the wrestling of the day, period, since actually Big Show more so than Vince.
I get what you're saying. I just still think that I think that you need to get away from what everybody else is doing and do your own thing. And I
agree with you on
that,
though, because this day and age, so like it's like a $10 subscription for WWE pay per view, or what they call like a premium event now. They don't even call pay per view no more.
A premium live.
I mean
event.
AEW. Yeah,
but see,
versus like AEW. If you want to see the pay per view, you sell it out $50.
But see, here's the thing you got to remember. There's no AEW without the Turner networks. He has to make them happy. So you got to pull a certain number to keep.
I see what you're saying.
That's why. it's going. What you guys were talking about, Hunter starting a network, starting nothing without TV. So if without Turner, there's no AEW. There would never been an AEW. So he has to keep the big wigs at Turner happy.
That's true. I get you on that one. But I got to disagree with you on that Hunter thing, because, I mean, they're going to be like, wait a minute. Triple H want to start his own thing? And everybody know Triple H. Executives going to come to him like, hold on, you doing what?
I don't know about that.
And you used to bang Stephanie? Hold on, wait a minute. Check this out. Come on, tomorrow.
They get the divorce. They got a divorce.
Right, he's still banging
her. Is that why Vince is blackballing? Is that what happened?
I don't know, but all I know is they're gonna I said he banging Stephanie. So they're gonna want him to come in the office, talk about his plans, and talk about what him and Stephanie do at night. And then they're going to give him a contract.
a lot of these guys still look at wrestling as a stigma still. That's why nobody's in a rush to put it on.
But what network, though?
Because Fox got WWE, right. USA got WWE,
right.
Turner got AEW.
Right, then you got to think about how many network execs know who the hell Triple H is that aren't wrestling fans.
You'd be surprised.
I wouldn't say so. Okay, I wouldn't. Granted, I wouldn't say he does though.
But I say though, if he does do it though, it'd be on Spotify Network.
Yeah, but that's the only one. Yeah, we talked about that, because I couldn't think of any other network with enough viewership that would take a chance on putting on wrestling.
Well, I've
until
had
he
my
Sci-Fi loves wrestling.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that's
mean,
about
I've
the only
had
other
my
network.
Own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had my own theories on where Triple H might go and about the fact that Fox might spin SmackDown into its own company instead of being associated with WWE. But so far, the timeline that I worked out has been delayed by about 3 months. But that's all like speculation on my part. I don't think Triple H is on the outs with the family. I think it's just because of his health issues. He's like been backed far the hell off from WWE because he wants to either A, not be part of it anymore, or B, he wants to heal. I really don't think
it's not his health issues.
Yeah, I really don't think he would be divorcing Stephanie McMahon, because if that were happening, it would be like front page news everywhere. I mean,
well,
look at all the
this.
Stuff that blew up with just the speculation on Shane. If that were happening between Stephanie and Hunter, then it would be all over the place by now.
But
Hold on. We forgot one network, though, that could pick it up. And they could really, really make a splash in the wrestling scene, because they've already made a splash in the wrestling scene already with what they're doing. And that's Vice.
They will have a hard time getting a million viewers on Vice. They will have a hard time getting a million viewers on Vice.
But that's not live wrestling with Triple H, though. Think about how many people tune into NXT. So wait a minute. Think about this. How many people tune into NXT? If Hunter started his own thing, those viewers would switch from whatever WWE's doing and come over to their network. Guaranteed, he's going to take three quarters,
but not with Vice. You'd need bigger coverage than that.
That's
a decent premise, but Vice is not it.
Yeah,
I think Vice would do for now. I mean, just to get started, he would do for now, and he would grow into where, let's say, Fox would say, okay, why is he beating the heck out of you?
And wait. No, Vice is a good option to start, in my opinion. I disagree with those guys, but he's not beating nobody at Vice. He's not beating nobody at Vice.
You don't think he's gonna he can take Vice and beat SmackDown?
No.
Or Raw.
I mean, because he couldn't beat AEW on USA.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I got
lucky.
I mean, much as we want to like shit on Vince for taking it over, though, the reality is he couldn't beat AEW on USA.
Right. But this is my point.
So he's not beating SmackDown on Vice. No way.
I don't think he's beating SmackDown on Vice.
I can give you that. I will give you that. But he would definitely beat Raw.
I don't think he draws. No. Raw? No. Hunter wouldn't draw 500,000 on Vice.
I don't know. I would have to disagree with that. I don't think Fox would. And see, this is the thing that what makes me think another factor with USA, and I know we kind of like ran over into the next thing, but I'm going to say this real quick.
Yeah.
Fox has already made a big stink about Peacock having WWE footage. Fox wants to be the sole owner of that, of all of WWE footage. So my thing is, when the contract is up with USA, Raw might be moving anyway to Fox. That leaves USA without a wrestling program.
Or Fox might buy the whole WWE outright. That might be the delay that in my plan here.
No,
there may be a bit of
no, no,
on
no, honestly,
no,
if WWE
the
USA is a good plan.
I just see it in a different way.
WWE,
I see it from a business
WWE,
perspective.
No matter what percent you look at it, if WWE, all their programming ended on Fox is a win for them.
Yeah,
but that leaves a space open for Triple H to move into USA. They already got a working relationship.
If that happens, yeah, that works out better. USA, he can compete. Vice, not a chance.
Well, however,
but
they split it up in an event.
If he is Vice as a stepping stone to get to USA,
what,
I'm with
that's
you
what
on
I'm
that.
Saying. That's what
yeah,
I'm
I could,
saying.
I could see that.
That's
maybe.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Maybe.
But he's not going to beat them on Vice. He can establish his name on Vice and move to USA. No, he can't beat them on Vice.
I don't know.
No way.
That's going into our commercial break.
Okay.
You got people talking to us, guys.
Yeah. Most of us here. And most of our male listening audience know we've had wives or have a wife. They've done things to where they say, get this out of our house. I'm tired of looking at this. Put it in your man cave or put it in the garage. And then we put some of our stuff into those places till we need some extra room. We might want to expand. We might want to do things. We might want to move to another city and our apartment's not ready. There's different things that happen. So instead of sitting here and trying to figure out how am I going to move this stuff, there's an option. Storage. There's a storage facility called, Secure KSL Storage. They have 17 locations here in Indianapolis, two in Evansville, and all across the United States. These guys do wonderfully. They're cost efficient. They have climate control. They have security up the wazoo so your items don't get stolen. These guys are top-notch. They do what they can do to serve you well. So, guys, if you are looking for storage to get that extra room in the house, you may be moving, or your wife is just getting on your nerves and just want to see some of the stuff gone, don't just store it in some space. Go to make it secure. Go to SecureCare, SecureCare Self-Storage. Check it out on www.securecare.com. That's SecureCare.com. check out the rates. They got a lot of online rates that are good, that are very economic to where you can go ahead and have that space to store your stuff in. So don't just store it, secure it with secure care self-storage. We're going on now. And Rob, I wanted to get your opinion on this because this is something that I thought of, and it's something I've seen on a lot of message boards, especially on Cornette's message board. Oh, my God. It irritates the hell out of me in this. Why are we going by a look of a champion? And I'm going to name some wrestlers as we go along in this conversation. And I want you guys to give me a short yes or no. First on, what is more important, the look of a champion or the skill of a champion? And then I'm going to name some wrestlers, and you tell me, they could be champion or they're not going to be champion. So, Rob,
can I ask a question before we jump into this, though?
What's up?
Are you talking about from, like, mainstream, like Vince eyes or just in general? You know, like, what Vince thinks that, like, his idea of the look is different.
I don't care. In this one, I don't care what Vince thinks. I'm thinking about what we think.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Okay, first off, the way that I see it is that the ideal champion depends on what the function of the title is. So if we're talking about skill versus cosmetics, it depends on what title they're holding and what it's for. If you are the world heavyweight champion of a marquee promotion, then you need the total package. And I don't mean Lex Luger. Although I believe Lex Luger could have been an effective champion if booked correctly, but that's another story entirely. What you need as a champion in the modern era, you need about 30% cosmetics and 70% skill. You got to hang with whoever they put you in the ring with, depending on their style and their ability level. But you also have to be a great looking and decent representative for your brand. And I know that a lot of people ride this guy's ass lately, but I believe that Cody Rhodes is that guy. I believe that he is the ideal picture of what a modern working champion would be. That doesn't mean that he would fit in every title picture in every company, but if I were going to pick someone to build a company around with a singular championship top tier, Cody would be the first guy I would choose to be my marquee player. And that's
okay.
Where I'm at.
Real quick, we're going to go into individual wrestlers in a second.
Okay, I'm sorry. I kind of jumped the gun there, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over
cosmetics.
Okay. Well, to answer your question directly, I say cosmetic. But I think for a world champion, you have to have 50 mic skills. I would say maybe 35-40% cosmetic and 10% wrestling skills. No.
Huh?
AKA Mandy Rose. Enough said. Okay.
Y'all gonna get off Mandy. Y'all gonna get off Mandy.
I think the job of a world champion is to put asses in the seats and viewers in front of the TV. That's the job of a world champion. And I think that, you know, the best way to sell tickets is with your mic skills. That's what sells tickets. To me, going old school, Roddy Piper sold WrestleMania. OK, okay, everybody wants to see him come out and get his ass kicked. He made WrestleMania, as far as I'm concerned, and he wasn't the champion. You know, Flair, every week people wanted to see Flair come out and get his ass whooped. His promos sold. He looked like a champion. He talked like a champion. His mic.
Flair was a total package, so he had it all, though.
Right, exactly. But what I'm saying is, to me, his mic skills and his appearance top wrestling skills, I think.
Okay. Tony, your thing.
Yes. First off, Mandy's an exception to the rule. Your face of the company is not a women's champion, though, so you can't use Mandy in your argument, because when women world champion, no women's world champion is putting asses in the seats for Charlotte Flair. I honestly think that, in my opinion, if you're not looking at it as a WWE eye, Mike's skills and skills in the ring, more so than appearance. If you are good on the mic and you're good in the ring, you don't have to have it like that superstar physique at all. Hype me up for the match and put on a good show. Because as much as you can hype me for the match, if I spend, and I think the problem with WWE versus AEW is like, for me personally, is how much the show costs. I expect more of WWE because the show costs more. I had friends in Chicago who went and saw a phenomenal show in Chicago on Wednesday, spent like $30-$40 bucks for the seats, and I'm going to the show in Indianapolis basically at $100 a pop. And I know the show ain't going to be good as the one in Indianapolis. I need a champion that's going to perform in the ring, but I need a champion that's going to pump me up for the show. I don't really care about appearance as much as like throw down in the ring, but build this match up. Build this up to where I'm excited to see it and deliver on it.
I got you. All right, my take on it is, yeah, I have to agree. Mike skills has a lot to go into it, but skill to me is skill in the ring.
Yeah.
You can talk all the trash you want to, but if you can't get in there and perform, you got a problem. I don't care how good you look. I honestly don't care how that is, because if you remember, and yeah, I'm gonna go old school, back in the day, everybody was not the muscle bound chiseled machine there is, or looked like an MMA fighter, or looked like this beauty queen off of
some people were Dusty Rhodes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mike's skill and wrestling skill are the two things that I think that is the most important and detrimental to be a superstar and a world champion. Period.
Okay. Well, you know what?
Period.
I will counter Tony's Dusty Rhodes to Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan wrestling was about a foot.
We try to stay PG here. Hogan was a horrible champion.
How much did he draw? Which is all that counts. Hogan was
McMahon. No. That was not Hogan. That was McMahon's marketing machine.
That was McMahon's marketing machine.
You could not have plugged. Please don't tell me you think you could plug in anybody in that role. And with you as well.
In that role, yes, I do. I do think it's all marketing, if Vince McMahon would have had Stone Cold Steve Austin on The Rock 20 years earlier, the exact same results would have happened.
No, but I'm talking about
Stone Cold Steve Austin drew more than Hulk Hogan did. It's marketing.
Yes, he did. But what I'm saying
is, if you look at what Stone Cold Steve Austin drew before McMahon decided to market him, He didn't draw anything. He was bottom of the wrestling. He didn't draw anything. No. And part of it is Hulk Hogan. Hogan do have he did relate to the people. He did have that charisma and everything, though. But it was more Vince McMahon than Hulk Hogan.
Yes, it was.
You can say the same thing about Hulk Hogan.
Stone Cold did the same shit that Hogan did and drew more money than Hogan did. And when the wrestling business falling down, fucking John Cena did the same thing too. So you can't tell me, you know, Vince can throw somebody else. If Vince McMahon did not help Hulk Hogan, he would have found somebody else to do it. Because
okay.
when Hogan was done, he found other people to do it.
But see, okay, Hulk, you gotta give Hogan some credit with his look,
okay.
his charisma. On top
no,
of that.
I'm not saying. I'm not saying don't give him any credit.
Rob, what you got to say?
Okay, first I'm going to premise this with a small story, and then I'm going to jump in here because I'm the original Hulkamaniac. Okay. February 5th, 1988, Market Square Arena, the main
that
event, the night of the double
Hefner. Yes,
yeah,
the tour of
Hefner.
I remember that well.
Yeah, that was the first live wrestling that I ever went to. I was there that night. And,
I wish I was.
Well, I know, but that's for different reasons. But when that happened, the whole arena deflated like a balloon. It was just the shock of all shocks, and that's how loved Hogan was at that time. Now, I'm not going to give him all the credit for the phenomenon that happened at that time. When it comes to champions, there is a thing about the person and his era. Hulk Hogan never would have worked as the superhero babyface in 1998 when Austin was a man of his time. So was The Rock. So was John Cena. You got to have, if you're going to have a babyface champion and a cosmetic babyface champion, you got to have him at the right moment with the right crowd in the right era. And Hulk Hogan.
In the right company with the right person backing you, though. Because in all honesty, in that same exact year, I don't think Hogan would have got over in NWA and Ric Flair's territory because what we all looked at was different. What we wanted, I don't think that would have worked in NWA.
Let him finish. Let Rob finish. Go.
Yeah.
In the NWA,
they wanted a working man's champion, someone they could a working man's babyface, someone they could identify with. Dusty, Magnum TA, Tommy Rich, in more or less terms, Jerry Lawler, but that's almost a different thing entirely. But Hulk Hogan was a superhero, and it's true that he did not have the skills of Flair or Steamboat or somebody or even JYD at times. But
I heard you say JYD because he popped into my head as he didn't have the skills of JYD. Thank you, Rob.
Well, JYD has been credited as somebody who could have taken that spot instead of Hogan. That's why I mentioned
it. Yes.
And it's entirely possible that he could have, because Junkyard Dog was a household name in wrestling at the exact same time. But my point is that when it comes to the champion and his era and his skill level and his charisma, his mic skills, and all, that whole mix, Hulk Hogan was a product of his time. You remember He-Man and the Masters of the Universe? Okay?
Right.
Whenever you hear that song and you see that transformation and that sequence, you know that the right ass is going to be kicked, that wrongs are going to be righted, and that everything is going to turn out okay. When you hear the first strains of Real American, if you're a certain fan, if you're a WWF fan, then that's the feeling you get. And I still get that feeling, even though Terry Bollea can be personally a pain in the ass. Terry Bollea, as an individual, I have a problem with, but Hulk Hogan, the icon, I will never have a, you know.
But you can,
We're going off the topic here. We're going off the topic here because I got a couple of wrestlers here that I'm going to name. We got a couple of wrestlers we're going to name, and you tell me.
Can I name a wrestler real quick?
Think?
The one. We all get a certain name in the wrestler, though, right?
Yeah. Go ahead. Do yours.
My pick is Roman Reigns, to be 1,000% honest with you right now. Roman Reigns is putting on good matches. He's really good on the mic. And with the mix with Paul Heyman to get him over and add that entertainment and mic skills to it, right now, in my opinion, the best champion is Roman Reigns.
Okay. See, I'm thinking on a little different level. I'm thinking on a little different level. The people that I'm talking about are not going to be already champion. There are people that says that they don't have the look to be champion or some type of defense.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. The first one I had on my list was Doudrop.
Yes. We talked about this several times, too.
Right.
In my opinion, Doudrop is the women's division this era, Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. And everybody's like, she doesn't have the look of a champion. I'm like, so what are you doing? Are you taking posters of her, taking Vaseline in the bathroom and having a good time with yourself?
Oh.
I mean, I'm just saying. I don't care what you look like.
I mean,
you need to get in that ring and perform.
And the problem with it is, and I'm guilty of it as well, WWE is more like fixated on the Mandy roles.
Yeah. I can't stand her. I know you like her, but I can't stand her. I thought she was going to develop. She was going to get some in-ring prowess. And that girl is just junk, and she's carrying that belt. And you got so many girls there that deserve that belt.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy Rose, go marry her. Take her on a honeymoon. I mean, do what you do with her, dude. But she don't need that belt. She needs to give that belt up. I mean,
it's a developmental title, and let her develop.
But she ain't even developed for that. She's developed for other things that I wish you would get. But she ain't developed for that.
Exactly. I didn't develop. She paid for it.
We know she kept, like, and all I say, if you look at Mandy Rose at this point in her career and look at Trish Stratus at that same point in her career, Trish Stratus was garbage in the ring originally and got pushed to the moon and improved.
Originally, but she improved. She showed improvement. At this time in her career, when you stack them both side by side, Trish Stratus was way ahead of the game than Mandy Rose.
No, not at this point of her career. Not at this point.
Yes.
Mandy Rose been doing it for a couple of years. No, not at this point.
Mandy Rose has been there longer than a couple of years. She's been there about 4 or 5.
Because she was on Tough Enough. How long ago was she on Tough Enough?
Yeah, I
don't count Tough Enough.
All I'm saying is, I understand you like Mandy. Take her, do whatever you want to do to her. Get 2 pumps on the swirl from me. But I'm sorry, that girl don't need that championship. She don't need it. Period. There's other deserving girls.
That's all I'm saying.
The next one on my list, Jade Cargill.
She does not have the wrestling ability to be champion with that belt.
She got the right title. No, she did need it. I think she did need it. And she does not need the title right now.
I would say yes, but not yet.
She should not be on national TV right now.
Wait. Let me say this. When it comes to Jade Cargill, all right, I mean, her first match was on TV. And
yeah.
I'm sorry. I remember my very first match.
Exactly.
She's way ahead of the game. She's way ahead of the game.
And
that girl,
the problem
has,
with Jade Cargill she's not in the company with developmental. Like, you develop out there.
Right. But not only that, she doesn't have a woman that can actually match her, that's experienced, and be able to go through the motions with her. I think, honestly, when she's training, she has to train with dudes. And it's the Nia Jax effect, because you're so used to dealing with dudes, till these girls don't know how to position themselves or do whatever it takes to work and make the match right. That match with and I love her to death. I've been in locker rooms with her. But Ruby Soho messed up that match with Jay Cargill so much. And I love her to death. But she just because she's so strong. She's a brick house. This girl is chiseled. This is the female Goldberg. You know,
well, to be fair,
that's exactly what she is. And they bring her on just like that.
Yeah. Make her matches 5-7 minutes.
To be fair,
but she's got to learn. Oh, go ahead.
To be fair, Ruby did what she could with that title match. And granted, she might have been able to do better, but there was some miscommunication in there. Now, you did mention that Cargill needs to train with men, and she is now training with Bryan Danielson, which will do her nothing but good. Nothing but good.
Oh, without a doubt.
Right.
Yeah, being trained by Danielson is going to help her out a lot.
Hopefully she picks
it
up better than Brie did.
Yeah. Now, Cargill looks like a million bucks.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Jade looks like $1 million. It's true. I think she is not quite ready for a title just yet. She's got all the cosmetics and all the mic skills, but in order to carry a belt, especially a new one, she needs a little bit more development. And I think since they've invested so much in her, they rushed it. Now,
they did invest a lot in it. I mean, they even had Shaq out there for developmental. Like, they invest a lot in it. They don't have developmental though, so I don't really mind her having a secondary title. She's not the face of the women's division.
Well, their developmental is Dark, really. Dark Elevation on YouTube. That's pretty much their developmental, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Jade, I think my thing is she's got a WWE style to her that can't transfer to a lot of the lucha and stuff that the girls do. And
but
I think that's one of the problems.
But here's, I mean, all honesty though, part, I could be wrong on this as far as part of the reason why she got the title. But I think part of the reason is Brandi Rhodes. Brandi Rhodes one point on Twitter ran off of her mouth about how what a great job that AEW is doing as far as like pushing black wrestlers, and she got a lot of criticism on it. And the reason she got a lot of criticism on it is because the only black champion we had in AEW prior up until Jay Cargill was Scorpio Sky as a tag team champion.
Right.
Yep.
Like the title scene in AEW was looking pretty vanilla. It's still looking pretty vanilla, but Jay Cargill, I think, is kind of like the whole, like, hey, we're trying. We're trying to look different than WWE, but in that category, they're not looking much different than WWE, but I really think that that's part of the reason. They're also doing the Goldberg booking with her, too. Like, this title ring is going to be the Goldberg U.S. title ring.
Yeah, I agree. So we got through that one. The next one is something that's near and dear to my heart. Speaking of black wrestlers,
I've been waiting for this one. Yeah, you booked this for last.
Yeah, because I'm kind of disappointed in this, and it's the treatment of Big E. As everybody knows, Big E was WWE champion. And then all of a sudden, they just shut that whole thing down and threw him back into the New Day. What is you guys' feelings on this? I'm going to go last in this. But what is your guys' feelings on the treatment that WWE is giving Big E? Marcus, go ahead, go first.
I mean, it's just, I have no explanation for it. I mean, I don't understand how your champion could lose, be pinned clean more times than he wins during his title reign. I just can't, for the life of me, understand. I think, again, kind of like Hangman Page, I think his build toward the championship, terrible. I mean, he was wrestling underneath guys all the way up until he won the Money in the Bank. And they still had him doing that silly shit still. I mean, you know, he wasn't built like a, you know, to make you see as a champion. And because there's so many lack of stars on top of that, I mean, there's really nobody. I mean, yeah, he worked with Seth. Yeah, he worked with KO. They're stars, but we knew they wouldn't. We knew they wouldn't beat Big E. We knew that. Then he Lashley put him over a couple of times, but then after that, I mean, he lost the Fatal 4-Way. He got pinned clean with a Fatal 5-Way. I mean, that's just terrible. They didn't leave room for a rematch. And why can't the New Day brothers get rematches? I don't understand. Kofi didn't get a rematch. Big E didn't get a rematch. But that's a whole other tangent.
It's a New Day rule. It's a New Day rule.
Yes, that's a whole other tangent. But
even the Brock Lesnar, you don't get a rematch.
Yeah, unless you're Roman Reigns, I guess. But again, that's another story right there.
Yeah.
Or Goldberg. Or Goldberg, but then that's another story too, I guess. But
all right,
but yeah,
all right, cool.
That's just okay. I'll shut up now.
Yeah. All right, Rob, your thoughts on this?
Oh God, where do I start? Okay,
I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, okay. The problem here, it's more than just Big E himself. It's if somebody in the WWE doesn't get over the way that the company wants them to get over, then they get knocked down whenever they get back up. And that's the case for Big E. That's the case with Kofi. That's the case with Xavier Wood and basically anybody else that God, I mean, you can go all the way back to Zack Ryder. He was over like hell,
even if he
might not have deserved it. But he got over on his own.
He was over with
initiative.
The fans, and everybody's eyes had been Vince. So
right.
He was definitely over.
Right, and so, but look what happened to him. He got to a certain glass ceiling, and then he was yanked back. It's the same thing with Kofi and with Xavier and with Big E. The New Day was supposed to be a joke, and originally it was. They were a heel tag team with a inspirational gimmick, but somehow or other they were entertaining enough to get it over. And as a tag team, they made a whole lot of noise. But for some reason, because they did that on their own and they made it work, they got pigeonholed in that role, and the company...
It was a WWE product.
Right, and Vince doesn't want to change that. I mean, people wanted Kofi to have a title run, and they wouldn't shut up unless he was given it rightfully. The same thing happened with Bryan Danielson, and the fans forced the company's hand. And when the fans force the company's hand, the person that gets put into that spot gets punished by the company, which is about the most bass-ackwards, stupid way of doing business. And
yes,
that's why Kofi didn't get a proper title run. That's why Lesnar buried him. That's why Big E didn't get the kind of title run he should have gotten, and that's why Lesnar got the title back off of him. And it's more about the fact that WWE wants generic product that they create rather than exciting genuinely exciting the fans and bringing them up to that position, which is how it used to work, but instead they want to screw us and shove Brock Lesnar and Goldberg down our throats, and it makes me want to vomit. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I have a lot of opinions on the whole Big E thing, and my first thing is, if anybody else other than Bobby Lashley would have been champion, and when I say anybody else that Vince looked at as a champion, if Drew McIntyre would have been a champion, hell, if Sheamus would have been a champion, Big E would have never won the title. This is the way Vince books. There's no reason that Big E should have took that title off of Lashley. Lashley was the almighty champion. Lashley was a dominant champion with
yes, he was.
A significant run. There is, I mean, we talk about Big E, and I get that, but Bobby Lashley's title run should not have ended with his cash-in. But it did, so we're going to go on that. It was a joke from the beginning. It was a joke from the beginning. It was. Like, and I actually think that Big E's run was worse than Kofi's. And Kofi did have a great run, but I think Big E's run was worse than Kofi's. It just shows how they just disrespected him. Now, one thing that, because, you know, I threw this question out there in the group, and Marcus Clement put on there, like he just couldn't take Big E seriously. And I get it. He's like, he can't take him seriously because he's always a class clown. My problem with his run is like he never stopped being a class clown. Like he was still the class. He was a world champion and class clown. Like he didn't stop doing all the goofy stuff.
Yep.
I think they were very disrespectful to his run. They were disrespectful to his run. But I really don't think that he should have got the run. Like, it was not the right time. He should not have been going Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley had a good run going, and it was kind of, I just really feel like at that point, it wasn't the time for Big E to pick the title. But the fact that, like, he lose a title, don't get a rematch, and get put back into the New Day, this kind of shows like what they truly thought about him.
I got you. All right. Here's my word on it, okay? And you guys are being nice and you guys are being generous. I ain't going to be so nice.
I was being nice?
Yeah, you are compared to what I'm about to be.
I'm waiting for this. Like,
yeah, really.
Everybody looks at the comment on the New Day gimmick. The New Day gimmick was developed to get rid of all three of them.
And it didn't work. Yeah, we talked about that.
Vince was kind of ticked off about that. But
yes.
What is the most common denominator when you talk about champions getting screwed? Because they did not do any push. They did not do anything for Big E. Kofi Kingston loses to what he did to Brock Lesnar. Xavier Woods is taken as a joke. Bianca Belair. What's the most common denominator? I don't care about saying it straight out.
Yeah.
The African-American superstars. That it seems like the only championship they could win.
Bobby, Let me finish.
These are four highly skilled African-American superstars that three of them was given a gimmick to try to get rid of them, and it didn't work. One of them, they didn't expect to get as the reaction that they did off of her, and they all got squashed, okay?
Yeah.
The thing that makes me upset and the thing that makes me ticked off And the main thing that makes me to the point, to the only reason I will even turn on a WWE channel is to do the reports here and to talk about wrestling on this channel, is because they don't treat the African-American superstars correctly. Look at let's go even farther. Let's go to NXT. Once Triple H stepped off, will you talk about B-Fab and that group? Even though I thought it was silly as hell, guess what? They weren't making noise. I got to give them their props. It wasn't my favorite, but they were making noise.
They were over.
And,
yeah.
And guess what they did? And guess what they did? They got rid of them. WWE and the higher-ups, not counting Triple H, because Triple H has proven itself 100%. But when it comes to the WWE and African-American superstars, they seem to not want to or have the ability to put them over unless they are already made. That is the reason why Bobby Lashley is making it now, because of what he did outside. If they did it to Lashley, mm-hmm. it'd make it too obvious. It would make it way too obvious. Bobby Lashley has made himself 12 times over. And they're going to have him lose to Lesnar. And they have him lose to Lesnar. I'm sorry. If you want to put the MMA crap in there like they do with Lesnar, Lashley has a better record in MMA than Lesnar and fought multiple opponents.
Yeah.
Because he didn't fight anybody that was old, decrepit, and ready to retire in MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Lashley fought legitimate people that was primed and ready, and he beat they behind. To me, Jake Hager got a better quality record than Brock Lesnar, okay?
If
you want to get technical. But you want to sit up here and you and everybody don't want to face the facts. The facts are right there. You cannot deny the numbers. They do not, or do not want to promote an African-American world champion unless he is already made. If he's already made, they'll let him pass, and they'll let him pass for a short while. But as far as it's concerned, if you're African-American and don't play a Samoan gimmick, or play some African hardhead gimmick that if you headbutt him, you break your skull, or you do something like that, they don't want. That's why Keith Lee didn't survive, because Keith Lee wanted to play the intelligent guy, and they couldn't handle mm-hmm. that. They didn't know how to handle that.
Man,
WWE.
Can we talk? Can next week? I know we're short on time. Can we discuss Keith Lee next week? Because that's what pisses me off.
Because
of the fact of like you have an intellectual black character, and it's like screw you, you gone. We need to talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why do we got to be? Why is it that an African American character has to be rapping and gyrating and dancing all over the place to get over? It's
put
not
a,
even get over.
Put a damn unicorn. Put a damn unicorn in his head, look like a damn dildo to get over.
Dildo on their head.
Because honestly, think about this. This is not just. Oh, go ahead, Rob, and I'll come in after you. Go ahead.
No, I was going to put it very succinctly. WWE thinks that stereotypes sell. And it goes deeper than even what you're talking about. It goes into Doudrop, who would make a terrific champion, but they treat her the way they do because she's fat. Nia Jax.
I was just about to go there. You took it right out of my mouth.
Nia Jax is like Brock Lesnar to me, save her because of her size.
Yeah, and does Sheamus really have to portray
a beautiful black woman?
Yeah,
oh, God,
and,
yes.
And
give me Nia Jax.
And do Sheamus and Drew McIntyre have to really be part, do their gimmicks have to involve their heritage as well? I mean, it goes deeper than that. It's all about stereotypes because they think that will sell tickets.
Let me say this. My ultimate threesome, Doudrop, Nia Jax. Let's get it done. In addition to that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Ultimate.
I ain't lying. No,
well,
I know Mark's including Crystal Marshall, but that's a whole different subject.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But hold on. I love Naomi, but I'm sorry, Doudrop and Nia Jax got me. They got me. But on the other hand, you got it seems like, and this is the same type of thing. You got to weigh a certain thing if you're a woman. You have to look like this to be a woman. You can have all the skill on earth, but guess what? I can't look at a match.
It's worse for the woman.
It is. But I can't look at a match and look at Mandy Rose take on Nia Jax and say, Mandy Rose got a chance to win that. I can't look at that bitch Becky.
And why the hell wasn't Asuka in the Women's Rumble? Well, is she still injured,
well,
or do they just not want her back?
She's still hurt, I think.
Oh, okay. They
doing Asuka dirty, too, because she's a foreigner.
Yeah.
My thing is this.
Yeah,
the stereotypes need to go.
Here's the question with the injury, what's her name? Because Sasha Banks was supposed to be out till like March or April, and all of a sudden she was there at all. You can't believe all these reports.
Look at Shinsuke Nakamura. Look at how he's the Intercontinental Champion, for God's sake, and look how they treat him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, with the dude, Boogs. Oh, with somebody smack him with his guitar.
That's awful. That's awful. I can take that back to WWE booking, but that's awful.
I want the Honky Tonk Man to come back, take that guitar, and whack him over the head.
Oh, that would be classic. I would love to see that.
Please never say that over the airwaves again. You'll give them ideas. That's the last thing.
That's a great idea.
No,
I
would love
to
see that.
You can't tell me. The Honky Tonk Man crowd out there blasting him is worse than what they've been doing. No,
that's not what I'm saying. Granted, it's a better idea than what they are doing, but my God, if we got to reach that far back into history to make this good, then we might as well be baking chocolate cake with kitty litter.
Well, you know what? They could do that on Legends Night. You know that's probably coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. I'm just disappointed with WWE. Hopefully Tony Khan can get control and do something better, because of course his EVPs are screwing up. Cody's trying his best, but you got the other two people the other three people that need to really just don't have any power whatsoever. I mean, I think they should super kick the Young Bucks out of the whole arena. And Kenny Omega.
You don't have to super kick them out the whole arena because they're still bad with talent, though, but you got to take away that power, though. I mean, it's just like you have the
you
talent
don't
in this division.
That's going to be our subject next week, tag teams. Because we got 90 minutes left. We're going to talk about tag teams next week. Because I got a lot to say about them young clucks. I got a lot to say about them.
Oh, it's going to be great. Oh, I can't wait.
Man.
Wait a minute. Next week, Super Bowl Sunday, I might be sick.
But guys, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to the team, Marcus. It's good having you on.
I enjoy having you here, dude.
We're going to have
fun. Oh, yeah,
fun
it's a pleasure.
We're going to tear it down. Tony Motown Allen, Robert Black, Marcus Bagley, the Mastermind Bob
Buckley.
Rogers, all here for the FTW. Buckley, sorry. Why did I say? Oh, I'm thinking of Bagwell. My bad.
Yeah, you
are. Oh, damn. Oh, man, dude. I quit. That's insult. I quit. Damn.
Bunch of stuff. Bunch of stuff. That is a bad thing. He didn't have to be a bottle.
I'll resign off that one.
That's a compliment.
Hey. But thank you for tuning in. We got 10 seconds left. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in next week, same time, same bat channel, and we will definitely see you in the future.
You know it's all about the fire!